You are listening to The 945 Show on WFNU-LP, 94.1 FM, and podcasted everywhere. Local music from the Twin Cities.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to WFNULP 94.1 FM in St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. This is the 945 Show. I am your host, Mike Rez. We have a great show lined up for you this morning. We've got two members of the local group, Twin Citizen, on the 945 Show. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Could you do me a favor and introduce yourselves to our listeners, please?
Yeah, my name is Adam Lifto. I am the lead guitar player of Twin Citizen.
And my name is Joe Hartley. I play rhythm guitar and sing.
Nice. Well, thanks for coming in. I was going to say congratulations for coming in, but it's not that big of a deal that you're on the 945.
Hey, getting a couple musicians to show up on time at 9:30 on a Saturday, that is a big deal.
Yeah. That's a congratulations to me, right?
Yes.
I did it again, yes. So we're going to be talking about Twin Citizen, what brought your group together, and you've released a new single that came out in April called Splinter, so we're going to actually be listening to that a little later on in the show. But first, if you want more information on the radio station, go visit WFNU.org. There you can find out when your favorite show is streaming. You can check out our schedule. You can donate to us. We are a nonprofit radio station. All donations are tax deductible. And speaking of donations, we just wrapped up our very first radiothon yesterday, which brought in about $3,200. So everybody that donated, thank you very much for doing so. We appreciate it. It helps go to our fund to keep the radio station on the air. So we appreciate all of that. We appreciate you listening as well. You can also download the WFNU app. It's free in the Google Play Store and your Apple App Store. You can take it with you wherever you go and listen to us all over the world because the internet is a wonderful thing. So
agreed.
Makes everything easier and everything is at your fingertips, basically.
Definitely
for good or for bad.
For better or for worse, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about Twin Citizen. It would be weird to have you two get in and not talk about Twin Citizen. So tell us a little bit about how the band was formed. I know it was in the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, but how do you form a band in the middle of a time when we were told to stay separated?
With great difficulty. it's one of the things I really admire about everybody I get to play with, because it was hard to, at first, you know, we're testing ourselves and showing up with masks, and, you know, I even would, like, face away from everybody else when I would sing and
sure.
make sure I'm not projecting whatever potential germs I had. But it was October of 2020, so it was smack dab in the middle of that first pandemic wave, and I saw a post on a Musicians of Minneapolis Facebook page that Adam had made looking for musicians in recovery to start a band with. And at that time, I was about 8 months sober. I got out of treatment about 2 weeks before everything shut down. So I had no sense of normalcy or anything
right.
at the time. And so music having always been my anchor and having struggled with the creativity side of things in sobriety, I had this pull from my gut, almost like that Donnie Darko tube, if you've ever seen that movie, where it was just like, I felt like it was my destiny to go follow through with this post. And he named Tame Impala and Star Effer and a couple other bands that I really liked. And it all just sounded like exactly what I wanted to be a part of. And it started out with just with Adam, Paul, the bassist, and myself just jamming on what ended up becoming one of our songs, Stranger Danger. And it sounded so different at the time than it does now, but over the course of the next year or so, we actually did pin down a solid lineup, accidentally wrote like 8 songs and started playing shows, and here we are.
Yeah, it was, for me, I had stopped playing with people around 2012. You know, something that the majority, four of the five members have in common is that we're all in long-term recovery from substance use, mental health challenges. And in 2012, things had gotten so bad for me that I just couldn't do that. I couldn't engage with people without using. I couldn't be on stage without using. It was really, really difficult. And so I kind of was a hermit and wrote music at the A-Mill Artist Lofts for like 6 years by myself and struggled. And also went to treatment right before the pandemic and had been encouraged by my counselor at that time to re-engage music. And through that process kind of came up with this idea of like, well, what if I reach out into the, you know, different communities online to see if there's anybody that's like me who has struggled, who still wants to do this thing but might want some extra support.
Sure.
And for the most part, it was pretty easy to find the members. I would say, you know, it took us a little bit of time with a couple of members kind of in and out, but we eventually landed with our lineup with our drummer Joe Diaz. So yeah, it was kind of, it did really feel like it was meant to be. We've been able to do exactly what the goal was, which is to be able to just write music and be a normal band, but also do it with the support of people who know what it's like to struggle.
Right.
And it's been so organic in the way that each one of us has such vastly different influences and styles, but somehow when we get together, we have a way of making space for each other and making something that really just sounds natural and like us without having to force it. And that kind of chemistry is not always there. It can be worked toward, but it's hard to build on, you know, it's hard to fan a flame when there's no spark. And so when we first started playing together, it was pretty obvious to me that, hey, this could be something really special. And I initially intended to just play guitar, but then I wrote a couple of the first songs, and I'm like, hey, I kind of like this frontman business. I might try this out for once.
So. Right. Well, that was the opposite for me, is I was like, I came in intending to do a lot of singing and found myself, no, actually, I think I would much rather just play guitar. So kind of worked out.
Well,
that
perfect
way.
Then, right? I'd be kind of awkward if you were both like, no, we're not going to sing.
Well, I can't play guitar like he does, so he's better lead guitar player than I am. It's what the band needed.
Yeah, so it's like kind of a like almost like a the universe was telling you guys this is the perfect time to do this, and
yeah,
everybody's going, you know, kind of together at the same time, going through the same thing, and it's been working.
Yeah, right? And I think there might be some conventional wisdom in early sobriety, especially to, you know, stay out of the belly of the beast. Don't go to bars and hang out in those situations. I mean, the first show that we played as a band was like the first time I'd performed without being messed up on something, and it changed my life. I realized that, hey, I can actually play as well as I used to think I did.
Right.
And the temptations aren't there when you have the accountability that you have in this band.
Sure.
When you've got everybody watching out for you. And I have the least sober time of the sober folks in this band, so it's really nice for me personally to say, like, hey, I've kind of been going through this a little bit. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. You'll be all right. You get through it. And it's just, it's super wholesome, good, non-toxic masculine support. And it's everything.
Yeah, I'm sure with the five of you going through that, I mean, it's like your own support group aside from the band that you've formed. So, I mean, it's got to help out quite a bit when you're, like you said, when you're feeling in those times when, you know, you might feel like, oh, I might have a weak moment here. I need to talk to somebody. You know, you can go right to one of these guys and,
or even just venting the frustrations of it sometimes. And
sure.
Yeah, the journey of self-discovery can be a rocky one sometimes.
Right, so. Absolutely. Even for people that aren't.
Yeah, know, that's what I was going to say. It's like, at this point, I mean, yeah, sure, every once in a while we might have a moment where, you know, there's a craving or something like that. But more importantly, you know, like, it's just we have developed a high level of, like, just, like Joe said, this intimate bond with other men that often people lack, especially men, and to have other men that they can count on to talk about how they're doing, And it's more about that now than anything else. Is like, we know each other well enough and we support each other enough to know, like, oh, Joe, you know, hypothetically, Joe, you know, he's not his normal self right now. And to be able to have, you know, four other guys in my life that I get to spend time with every week to check in with just on a human to human basis is pretty special.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause usually as men and as guys, we punch each other in the shoulder and go, "What's up, bro?"
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. I think that, I think
that's
this,
about it.
Yeah, like, are you good? You good? You good? Yeah. You good?
Okay, I think good. The zeitgeist around that's changing a bit. I notice it a lot more with Gen Z kids too. I mean, I say kids, they're like 27 now, but you know, they have no problem telling their friends, "Hey, I love you, man," or "Hey, I'm worried about you, man."
And right.
You got shows like Ted Lasso that are out where it shows what. I mean, and it's not just men in that show. The women's relationships in that show are amazing too, and it just demonstrates something that you don't see in pop culture a lot, and it's something I'd like to see more of, because mm-hmm. I try to normalize vulnerability. I am an open book about my struggles, because if I hadn't had examples to go after, or friends who'd gone through the same thing, or people to look to that I could relate to, I probably wouldn't have, you know, taking my fifth or sixth attempt at getting sober and been where I am today. And my life would not be the amazing ball of wonder that I currently have. And I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, having these people who can see right through your BS sometimes is pretty great. Right. And one of the big things that I took from treatment this last time is how to recognize behaviors 5 or 6 steps before you even get to the point of thinking of getting a bottle. And so we keep each other in that behavior zone where it's like, "Hey, that's some crappy thinking. You should try looking at it this way." Mm-hmm. And just completely shift perspective. All of a sudden you're feeling better. You know, you can't lie to these guys.
Right.
And yeah.
It's like your own little like lasso of truth.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a good name of a band.
Accountability buddies.
Oh, there you go. Buddies. Yeah. T-shirt. It's the next t-shirt.
There we go.
Twin Citizen t-shirt.
The next EP name.
Keep each other accountable for sure. So now we were talking about, you know, you put out the post to get people together, and you're feeling out everybody. Was it when you got together, the five of you for the first time, was it a cross your fingers moment where you're like, we're getting together now for the first time, seeing each other. I hope this works.
Well, I remember, so with the four of us outside of our drummer, our current drummer, had been playing to a drum machine together for a long time, trying to keep the band idea alive, because we were having a hard time locking in a drummer that was going to work. And I remember we had Joe Diaz, not this Joe, our drummer coming, who had practiced with us early on, like 6 months prior to that day, and he was coming again. And I remember being like, we need to just like really make a good impression right now. And I remember you, Joe, he texted me, he's like, "I don't think I'm gonna be able to make it," or something was going on, and and I was like, "You need to be here tonight like this. You need to be here."
And I said, accountability.
Right. And it was one of those things where Joe actually was coming to just help out and just jam with us. And so, in my head, I'm going, all right, this is our moment to like really impress this guy, because he's a pro for sure. Joe Diaz is a pro.
Phenomenal.
And so we had practice, and kind of like you were talking about, we were all playing, the five of us, for the first time. And it just, we had like, finally, it sounded like the band that we had all been hoping for. No one really talked about it, and I remember being super kind of like bashful at the end, like, "Wow, Joe, you know, that was really good having you here. Like, we'd really like you to, you know, I'd love for you to come again," you know, just hoping that there was any kind of spark. And to my surprise, Jody is like, "Oh, I haven't had this much fun playing music in a really long time. I would love to be a part of this band." And it was just like, I just wanted him to come back once more, you know?
Well, yeah, wait a minute. Pump the brakes, Joe.
As time has gone, we've discovered that, you know, when he first started jamming with us a few months prior to when he actually started playing with us full time, he thought we sucked. And we did, so that's fair. But apparently we made enough progress in that 6 months that we were, and I don't say this sarcastically, worthy of his drumming, because he is one of the finest musicians I've ever gotten to play with. Mm. And it really was the final touch that did make us sound like us, and it was that organic moment there. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool when you got that kind of situation where, you know, you really want this person there, and they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so. I know. I feel like it's rare. It's like, especially when you're unsure. You know,
right,
you
yeah.
have to have somebody be like, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, again, and like, right. It's that chemistry, because there's a lot of different ways to get to the quote-unquote right result with a song. But a lot of times you can have a group of really talented, excellent, experienced musicians in a room, and it's just not, it's kind of like dating. That spark isn't really there. You have to have that natural chemistry. And I just think that the five of us, especially when Joe came in and completed it, we all tend to reach similar conclusions on what the song wants.
Sure.
And instead of trying to force something, everybody's ideas get a try. No domination of the writing process. If somebody's got a thought, we try to exercise it out and usually reach the same conclusions on what the song wants. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, the time is now 10:01. You're listening to the 9:45 show on WFNULP 94.1 FM in St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. I'm your host, Mike Rez. I have Adam and Joe from the band Twin Citizen in studio. If you missed any part of the show, you can go back and listen to it via podcast or on demand on the WFNU app, which is available for your mobile device and tablets and all of that fun stuff. Excuse me. The coffee's really getting to my clog in the throat here.
Yeah, that's the seasonal allergies for me.
Yeah. So now you touched on it, Joe. I was going to ask a little later on in the interview, but I'll just ask now. I'll ask for both of you, really. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, like, the music writing, how many times do you bring a song to the group and it does a 180 from where it started?
Somewhere between 90 to 100% of the time. Yeah, not necessarily a 180. It's one of those things where I think, you know, you can have all the greatest ideas in the world of what you want it to sound like in your head. You can have the clearest vision of it, and ultimately the goal is to get it to sound better than that. And the singular vision of writing songs can be really good sometimes. I've done a lot of that, where I've played every instrument, written every part, and I can kind of tend to become my own biggest influence there and use some of the same tropes over and over. But I'll bring an idea to the table with these guys, and I'll come back the next week and Adam's written a gorgeous guitar part for it, and Paul and Joe are locked in on the rhythm section, Will's adding atmosphere with the synth, and it just sounds like something far greater than anything I could have ever created on my own. I had a couple songs that I've brought that I had sat on for almost a decade waiting for the right band to play with, and I didn't really know what to do with them, and what they've turned it into something so much more meaningful, and they captured the idea and the feeling that I was going for when I wrote it so much better than I ever could have on my own. So they all do definitely take on a new life of their own. And we have four writers in the band, too.
Okay.
And we all pick at each other's tunes, and it's a pretty collaborative experience writing it.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I think more often than not, are the ideas that come in, it really depends. I mean, I think from some of Joe's music, like he said, he brought in, and there was a lot of parts that were pretty eloquently already written, at least with Everywhere I Roam, for sure. Yeah. That stayed pretty true to, I think, to the original idea, but just got expanded in terms of the atmosphere of it.
And then there's Lesser Fools.
Yeah, well, and then Lesser Fools like is a different one where it, I think it was like just a couple of chord progressions and then turned into like a 7-minute like psychedelic funk jam and
Pink Floyd reggae.
Yeah, and so I think definitely part of the Twin Citizen vibe is at least, well, I guess live and recordings wise, we have some expanded songs, as you'll see with Splinter is a 7-minute song, which is I think abnormal these days, where everyone's attention span is so short that you need some 3-minute tunes, which I think we're working towards trying to create some songs that are at least in the 4 minute range. We'll see.
Right. But I was gonna say, I was looking at the lengths of these songs. I was like, well, they're going longer than usually you see.
I don't think I've ever written a 3 minute song. I have way too much to say most of the time.
Yeah, well, I have too many ideas. So yeah, things get expanded out pretty well in most of our tunes, but. I think we should probably have a couple of like 3.5, 4 minute songs just to, in the case that we, you know, somebody wants to play us, that doesn't want to spend like 2 songs worth of time on, but
2 minute pop bangers.
Right. There you go. See, that's the thing. When it's community radio, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, nice bring thing. On the music.
Right.
You know, I'll play a 10 minute song if you have one.
Right.
So I think I played an 8.5 minute song is the longest one I've played. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always for it.
There's space for it. For every 3 minute tune out there, there's bands like King Gizzard kicking out albums that are basically one song. Right. That's an hour long.
Right. Well, I'm a big Mars Volta fan, and their songs are like 13 to 14 minutes long. They can play a show and only play 5 songs. And
sure.
Well, I mean, I used to listen to, I still do listen to a lot of like doom metal and stoner metal and stuff. And some of those songs are literally an album that is one song that's an hour and a half long.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
So you got, you said you had 6 years, Adam, of music writing. So you got a lot in the vault.
Yeah, well, I would
say more than that, I think.
I mean, I've been writing music since I was 16, so 22 years. But the 6 years of music that I wrote I haven't really drawn from that pile of tunes. Maybe one day I will. I don't know. I think I appreciated that time. I spent a lot of time working with playing guitar and doing a lot of singing and harmonies and stuff, but a lot of electronic programming and skills that I'd spent during that time that I just haven't really brought to this project, I guess.
Yeah. I think with four writers in the group, it's going to be almost nearly impossible to record all the songs that everyone's got.
I hope not.
Laying
around. I love it. Right. Right now, especially, we've been trying to get some new songs worked out, and that process is always my favorite. To take something so abstract as a musical idea and turn it into something that you replicate over and over, and it takes on a life of its own, and it's literally a new piece of art that didn't exist before you made it.
Sure.
It's my favorite thing in the world. We are going to lock ourselves in the studio and record about 20 songs, I think, and keep the best ones. We're saving up for that right now.
Yeah. And you can, you know, and you got multiple albums already in the can, and you just...
Well, and I like what's current in my mind right now, like what I was thinking about and interested in 6 years ago is just very different than what I'm currently interested in. And so I don't know. One day those songs might see the light of day, but for now I'm just writing from the present moment.
Right.
Yep.
Where do you guys get your inspiration for music writing? Is it from things going on in your life right now, things you see in other forms of media that you want to write a song around, or how does your process work?
Yes. All of the above. For lyrics, I draw a lot on personal experience. It's been awesome getting to clear the cobwebs out of my mind with some of the songs I've gotten to write with these guys. I've gotten to put some ideas into music that just I've always wanted to say in that way, I guess. I don't know how it works where you put something to the right chord progression with the right melody, the right rhyme, and it makes it more true than it is if you just say it.
Right.
And that's one of the mystifying, haunting, beautiful things about music to me, is how it can move somebody in that way. And the very nature of our band having started off as a group in recovery, I read a lot of songs about my addiction years and about the other side of it and putting a positive twist on where I am now. And but a lot of the time for ideas, I always call it kind of having the antenna up.
Sure.
I'll be just at work or driving around. I'll get a song stuck in my head. I'll realize it's not a song yet, and I have to sing it into my phone for a voice memo or get to a guitar and figure out how to play it. And from there, it just I try not to force it. I will make myself sit and write sometimes. There's some people who say that they got to write every day because that's their job. That's what they do. They make themselves do it. I try not to force it too much. And then some weekends I'll knock out 7 or 8 pages worth of song ideas. and I got to carve them down, and somebody will write a song where I'm like, hey, I think these unused lyrics will work for this. I got to try and figure out a melody for it. So sometimes it's divine inspiration. Sometimes it's perspiration. So. Yeah.
For me, I think over the last almost 4 years since I started writing music with people again, it's been pretty organized practice for me. You know, not just with these guys where we're practicing once a week, but you know, it's very consistent. I'll go downstairs and practice for an hour, or I'll go downstairs on the days that we rehearse. I usually will spend 3 hours practicing before rehearsal. And so that time is like time to sharpen up what we already have written, and then spending a couple of hours with ideas that we've either started working on, or that are brand new to the group. So I think the days that we rehearse is usually like I get 5 to 6 hours of practice on that day. That's where I do a majority of my writing. And I haven't written lyrics, man, since prior to going into treatment. Little to Joe's knowledge, I've just started that process again, and that is usually based off of what's happening in the world, with a little sprinkle of maybe my own life. But I'm just, you know, knock on wood, my life is pretty dang good right now, and so I tend to make stories up about things I perceive in the world, challenges that are happening in the world, from a perspective of some character.
Yeah. You could write a song about how good your life is going.
See, that's
harder to do.
Yeah, right.
That's how I figured. You don't hear a lot of those, so it's got to be a reason why.
Yeah, when my life is going well, I'm able to communicate that pretty well. And so that's why I tend to write from the challenges that I see in the world. And
right.
I see a lot of those. I work as a counselor with people with substance use disorder. And so I see a lot of challenges coming through. Not that I write about their lives, but
right.
I see that. I just see a lot of pain and suffering, and that is important to me and interesting to for me to flesh out, I guess.
Yeah. And so that's especially if you have something you actually want to say with that's harder for me than just trying to write some abstract poetry where the meaning reveals itself to me as I go, in a way, or I'm like assigning meaning to something afterward because I thought it sounded cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with the more abstract stuff, I kind of like to let that sit and let people take from it what they will, and not try to make it too specific. Because a lot of the times there are very, very specific personal references in there. Like, I write a lot of weird love songs to Valerie, and there's a lot of inside jokes in there that she gets, but not a lot of other people will. But they, you know, try to make those sound poetic at least.
Right. So we were talking before the show, so when Joe and you were saying that you kind of sing it, put in your phone. Do you do a lot of singing on the job site?
Yeah. especially if all the sanders are going and nobody can hear me.
Sure.
I will put on, especially if I'm writing a new, like, to somebody else's composition that they made for the band, I'll put it on my headphones on repeat, put on the earplugs, face mask, protective goggles, turn the sanders on, and like hum it.
Sure.
To try and figure out a melody, and that's how I've come up with a ton of our songs, just sitting behind a giant drum sander at work, humming to myself.
Does that take practice to try to hum it while you got a loud sander going on?
Oh, no, with the headphones and earplugs in, you can hear yourself great.
Nice.
You can harmonize with those sanders, too.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You can add some sanders to the music.
Practice the breath control.
Yeah, that's like the prog rock part of the band, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Sample some heavy machinery.
Yeah, chainsaws and sanders.
So, yeah, I saw a show that was improvised percussion. Mm. So you can put anything in music.
Oh, anything can be music. Yeah. All you need is a beat. It's fascinating to me. I read this book called Music in the Mind by Anthony Storr once, and it completely affirmed everything I've always wanted to believe about music, where it is such a uniquely human thing. Nothing in nature holds perfect pitch, keeps perfect beat. We did that. We segmented time in that way and figured out, you know, you can chase it all the way down to why does a minor chord sound sadder than a major chord? And there really isn't an answer to that. It just does. And so that ambiguity, it mystifies me. And it's just my favorite.
It's like in like electronic music, like the major chords, synth pop, minor chords. and it's lo-fi.
Yeah. Or, you know, you drop it's
chill wave.
Drop it 20 BPM and it goes from house to deep trance or something like that.
Right. Like, how does this happen?
I don't know, but does it make you want to dance? Cool. Then they successfully achieved their goal.
Right. So, yeah. I usually do like it. I've got like the head bob.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if someone's bobbing their head, you're doing something right.
When I look out and see people dancing at our shows, that's my favorite. It gives me so much energy when I see that, you know, the fact that the music we get to make is what's moving them out on a Saturday night. It could be anywhere in Minneapolis, and they're out dancing with us, and that's my favorite.
Yeah. That's for sure.
When I DJ shows and I DJ karaoke on Fridays, but even like in between, if I'm playing somebody else's music and I see people kind of grooving a little bit, I'm like, oh, that's all right, I'm on the right track.
It's fun. Yeah,
that's not even my music, that's somebody else's music.
Right. It's universal. Any country, any culture in the world, you show up with a drum and start playing a beat, you can get people to dance.
Yeah,
all across the world. I think
that's pretty much how 90s hip hop made it as long as it did. They had good beats in a lot of those 90s hip hop tunes. So,
man, some of those early aughts beats too. The Dr. Dre production is mint. It's really good.
Right. So not all of you are from Minnesota. There's some members that are outsiders to Minnesotan.
Minnesota. You gotta call me out like that.
So where are you all from? I know in Minnesota we have this thing where it's like you got to be one of us.
Right. One of us. If you want friends, go to elementary school, right?
Right, yeah.
I've managed to find some of the best friends. I waited 30 years to find my people, and they were all here. I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Love Michigan. Good place to be from. Happy to be here. I was always fascinated with the Twin Cities. I loved the music scene as a teenager. I was obsessed with, like, you know, Mason Jennings, Motion City Soundtrack, Tapes and Tapes, the Jayhawks, all these Hold Steady, Lifter Puller, Husker Du, Replacements, all these amazing bands that I love that came out of here. And I'm like, how is this Northwood City kicking out all this quality? And I love the Northwoods too, so it had everything that I liked with the nature and the rivers and lakes and a culture of people who will sit down and give you a chance and listen to what you have to say and what you want to play, and if you don't suck, they will keep showing up.
Right.
And it's been phenomenal to get to break into a local scene that I, you know, my little town of 70,000 people had a really fun one. I was actually just notified yesterday that they put together the Kalamazoo Music Library.
Oh,
and
there
a bunch
you go.
Of my old songs are on there, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Nice.
My old album from high school that I recorded is completely on there. I don't even think I have that anymore. So
Kalamazoo has it.
Yeah, they do. Apparently somebody's got the files out there, so I need to find out who so I can take them.
You probably download them from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But pay for your own music.
Yeah, I moved to Minnesota in 2014. I think it was my third relapse, and I went to Hazelden, and I decided that this was my chance to get to the Twin Cities and stay. And so 9 years in, I regret nothing. I love it here. First time I went to northern Minnesota, I thought I was going to drive off the road on 61. So I've got all the city life that I could want. And, I mean, for instance, we just went camping in the Superior National Forest this last weekend. Gorgeous. God's country up there. And so it has everything that I could possibly want. I cannot believe how much better my life has been here. People will talk about how insular Minnesotans are. I don't necessarily see that. I just think it's a lot of people move in adulthood, and it's hard to keep friends and make friends as an adult because everybody's pretty set in their ways. They've got their own lives. But if you have something like music that you can do, and I'm fortunate to have that, it's a lot easier to find your circles of people who share the same passions as you.
Sure.
Because that passion has to be at the center of any quality activity-based relationship, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm from here. I'm born and raised here. Spent a little time in California, but not much. Joe Diaz is, I believe, from here. Paul Narlock is from here. And then Will is from North Dakota, I believe. Yep. Or is it South Dakota? North Dakota,
North
I think.
Dakota.
Yep, North Dakota.
One of the Dacks.
Yeah.
Wild West.
But yeah, we've all been here for a while, even those of us who aren't from here. And appreciate it for sure. And I like what Joe's saying about, like, you can find your circles. Even being here today, is it's been interesting to live this new world on social media, not only like what who the people we meet you know at shows and like come and see us, but like so many people that I've met over the last year and a half running our social media accounts. Like you have this online friendship and relationship that you build, and then you start actually seeing these people in person, and it's like this really interesting way of developing new friends.
Yeah.
Which like I know a lot of people meet each other online these days, but to transfer that meeting online to meeting in person and developing an actual friendship is really kind of a cool thing to see happen. Cause I never really was able to bridge that gap prior, earlier in life until I actually started running social media sites and stuff. So,
yeah. And like you said there, to actually see people at the shows, you know, you see that you're getting streams and clicks and people are interested in your stuff, but then you look out and people are singing your lyrics back to you or like making hand motions when the beat drops because they know the song, and it really humanizes it for you. And it's such a cool feeling, and the gratitude I have for people who, you know, sought us out, because you have to seek out local music. That's not a thing that you get spoon-fed very easily. So people actually took the time to find us, enjoyed our music, came to the show, brought friends. That's what I love about this scene, is that happens so much, and that people actually take the time to look for it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like the bands that you mentioned from here really laid the groundwork for what the scene could be and what the scene actually is around here. Because, I mean, if you think about it, we're the Twin Cities is up there with New York, L.A., Nashville.
Oh, yeah. It
people
punches way above
talk
its weight.
About this scene all the time. Yeah. So, and, you know, you got your clubs, you got your First Avenues and your Turf Clubs, and Amsterdam I'll throw in there because I know Amsterdam's got a nice hall and they do put on a lot of good shows there.
We'll be there next Saturday, actually.
Yeah, I got that. I got your list here. We're going to go over that after your music. But
the sheer amount of venues that cater to local shows. And
Yeah, we lost a couple during the pandemic and coming out of it, which kind of makes it tougher for artists and musicians and bands in the scene, because now you have that many less venues. And now, I mean, stage time was hard to find before COVID, and now it's just like you got to book shows 8-9 months in advance now.
But that's great. It's kind of the rebound, I think, because I personally will never take it for granted again.
Sure.
I remember June of 2021, I went to a friend's backyard show where a bunch of bands were playing in a little mini skateboard ramp he had in his backyard, and it was so good to see live music again and just to be surrounded by people, all that concert magic where everybody's focused on the same thing and you have this large group of strangers enjoying something together.
Right.
That's a unique experience that you don't really get from anywhere else. Like, you have sporting events, that's one thing, but concerts, that's a completely different level of happy crowd. And so getting to be on both sides of that again, I'll never take it for granted. I've gotten to go see so many good concerts, so many of my friends playing in local shows, and I've gotten to perform a lot more than I ever have. And it's a gift and a privilege to be able to do that.
Yeah. I like the young punk bands around here kind of took it to a different level and they started doing their house shows. I was like, DM me for the address. I'm not just giving it out. But then you look at like the pictures and the videos and they're in someone's basement.
Oh,
and
there's
like 900 people.
Shout out to the old Side Pocket Party Palace.
I think
that
there's
was
a place.
Good time.
Yeah, I see that on especially on Instagram, like one place like the Shoebox is like somebody's basement and it's like they have bands coming through there. But yeah, I still see that quite a bit and I like that scene too.
House shows
reminds
are
me of like Fugazi, the band Fugazi back then.
Right.
Day, yep.
Yeah,
Minor Threat.
There's a house around here. It's in St. Paul. It's in one of the neighborhoods. I can't remember which neighborhood, but they call them the backyard. It's the Grand Oak Opry.
Yeah.
Okay. And they do a show once, I think maybe a couple times in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's everybody, you know, they'll put a band up there and everybody just brings their chair and then they sit in their backyard.
Yeah, that's
and
fun.
Yeah.
And people show up for it.
Yeah.
And do it. It couldn't happen without the audience.
Right.
It's so cool that, that there's that ethos here.
Yeah. All right, well, let's listen to some of your music. Since we keep talking about the music and processes and stuff, and let's get some of this into the listeners' ears. We have three songs lined up. The songs that we're going to be playing are Escape Room, Domino, and Splinter. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about those, where we can find them, and then we will do the weather.
Sounds good.
So you're
loving this weather. Yeah.
You're listening to the 945 show on Frogtown Community Radio.
Paralyzed. It's brewing a storm. Keep yourself warm and cover your eyes. The constant reminders of how it works. Have we fallen behind or am I just running backwards to the new revolution? Baby, take a trip inside my paranoid. It's brewing a storm. Keep yourself warm and stare through the void. The constant reminders and hollow words. Have we fallen behind or am I just running backwards to the new revolution? Baby, take a trip inside my
guess I was wrong in the first place in so many ways, and I'll admit it now. You caught me crawling in a foot race and wagered it all on how it turned out. Couldn't leave it alone, couldn't help but join me.
All right, that was Splinter by my in-studio guest, Twin Citizen. Before that, we heard Domino, and we started off that music set with Escape Room. And we have Adam and Joe from Twin Citizen in studio. Awesome music, guys.
Thank you.
That was we were talking a lot about gear and instruments and pedals and all sorts of cool gear things that musicians talk about off the air. But we were talking about the end of Splinter just now. Could you explain to our listeners on the guitar, like the cool part or thing behind the pedal that you were using? And
I recently sold it because I couldn't. I was worried about having it on my board at shows because it was like a $1,500 pedal, but it was a Moserite Fuzzrite 1967 Moserite Fuzzrite that I used for the solo. So there's actually no input power jack on it. You had to power it with a battery still, but it just had this kind of warm, buttery fuzz feel to it.
Sure.
That I was able to use for that solo at the end. And kind of just a special experience to be playing through something that, you know, came out around the time that, like, Hendrix and, you know, like, the song Inagata Vivida was made. Like, that was created. The pedal that I had on my board was actually made during that era, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah, and that old analog circuitry has a sound that you just can't replicate
right
anymore. And it's so subtle, but it's one of those things where even non-guitar players don't know that they notice it sounds better, but they do.
Right.
It works, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of remakes of it right now that are relatively cheap, and they get close, but they... And I had one prior to having that pedal, and not the same.
Right.
Not the same.
It's like when you're listening to, like, CD versus digital or cassette versus vinyl or something. You can tell, you can hear the difference. You don't know why you like something better, but there's a sound there.
If you don't cut the top of the waveform like you do with a lot of digital stuff, it's a much more compressed, streamlined wave file. But with, you know, for instance, vinyl or with the old analog circuitry, you get the full peaks and valleys of it.
Right.
And even the stuff that's, you know, infrasonic still makes a difference to the overall tone.
So that's audio nerds and stuff like that. You know, I mean, we just get into that stuff.
Guilty as charged. It's very cool.
Yeah. All right. So we got a very important part of the show here, guys. We're going to get it going here, but first.
It is now time for the WFNULP Out the Window Weather Report.
We take this very seriously here. I don't know if you noticed that, but that should be your first clue.
Right? Hey, this is Minnesota Weather Talk. Is very serious business.
Right. So, all right. So the Out the Window Weather Report is exactly the way it sounds. Just need you guys to look out the window.
Well, I'm going to put on my sunglasses.
All right.
Because it's looking bright out there. A little hazy. Canadians exporting their wildfire smoke to us, as has become tradition in our summers. But, I mean, it was like 83 degrees when I was pulling in here already. So it should be a gorgeous day.
Right. I feel like I should go, good afternoon, Twin Cities. There is a Canadian haze outside as of right now, with the dew point is out there as well. I don't know what it is, but believe it is. The dew point's in the 60s. There's buses down there. There's a lot of heat coming off those buses. So I would say it's probably, you know, reaching 80 degrees right now. With it's gotten a little overcast. But you can see a little blue sky up there, so we're still doing okay. Frogtown's looking a little hazy, but everyone's up and about for their Saturday vibes.
And the trees are green and not covered in snow, and I always have to remind myself of how lucky we are for that. Looking at the flag on top of the Capitol, I think we have a slight southeasterly wind. Yeah, should be a gorgeous, gorgeous Minnesota
north,
summer day.
Northwest.
Yeah, but it's coming out of the southeast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it's the opposite of where the flag is pointing.
Yeah. The flag is pointing northwest.
I apologize to any actual weather people out there. This is
Oh, I got a lot of meteorologists that listen just for this part. Yeah,
right. Right. Okay. Well, wow. Should stick to the carpentry, I guess.
All right, for today we have isolated showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 91 today. Oof. Yikes. Tonight, partly cloudy with the low around 66. Tomorrow, isolated showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 5 p.m., otherwise it'll be sunny with another high near 91 degrees. We don't have much wind tomorrow, only about 5 miles per hour. For Monday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1. Tuesday, we have another chance of showers and thunderstorms. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 80. So we hit a cold front on Wednesday. So we have something to look forward to.
Down into seasonal averages.
That's right. Currently, right now, in the Twin Cities, it is mostly cloudy, according to the weather at downtown Holman Field. But it says 76 degrees there, but it also says 81 on my phone. So we're going to go with, you know, 78, 79. Yeah,
that sounds about so, right.
But the truth is usually somewhere in the middle.
And Joe, you were really close. The humidity, 67%.
Okay.
So it's humid out there.
It is.
Yeah. It feels like 90.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Minnesota without the humidity, though.
Right.
That's the price you pay for having all this gorgeous water around.
Yeah, we have like 3 really nice days every year, and I think we actually missed them this year.
Oh, I don't I don't mind it. I love transitional seasons traditionally. Spring and fall have been my favorite. I think it was on a Wednesday this year. And but I, since I don't drink anymore, the heat doesn't bother me like it used to. I don't feel like I'm going to collapse into a puddle of vodka sweat all the time.
Right.
So, you know, after this last winter, I will take the 90-degree stuff. It's all right with me.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, a thing. You know, it's like when you're drinking a lot, especially in the heat. Like, I don't get, like, some people are like, oh, I'm so thirsty. Give me that beer. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, see, I was never much of a beer guy because it didn't work fast enough. I was more a connoisseur of vodka and plastic bottles.
Sure.
Right. So
yeah, the good stuff.
The classic alcoholic fare.
All right. So you guys have some shows coming up.
Mm-hmm. We do.
You have one tomorrow at Lake Harriet.
Yeah. Excited about that.
That'll be a nice hot, humid show.
Yeah, it's going to be real warm. So you're going to want to definitely hydrate. Start hydrating today. But yeah, we're excited about that one. There's a lot of interest, at least online. You know, you never know how that's going to turn out. But we are one of the first shows there. I know they had one canceled yesterday because of the weather. So, sure. You know, we're hoping for a good turnout.
Yeah. Forecast looks good for
our first show outdoors, too. So we're really excited. Nice. Yeah.
What time does that start?
So we will be starting at 5:30. I think we play, it's just us, so we play from 5:30 to 7.
Okay.
Yep.
Hour and a half. Nice. Yeah. Any intermission in there or no? Straight through.
I think we're gonna try and play straight through. Might expand our already long songs into longer, more jam songs, but we'll see what happens.
Nice.
Yep.
I mean, if we end up rushing through things, I can always, you know, kick everybody off stage and do some solo stuff.
Sure.
But I'd rather keep them up there with me.
Yeah. You got to do like the storytelling in between, like the classic rock bands.
Just, yeah.
Just like make stuff up. Like, this was off our 37 studio album. I sat down with John Smith one day, and then everybody cheers like they know who John Smith is.
I'm going to make up a bunch of stuff.
Twin Cities legend, John Smith.
Yeah. Right? See how many people are like, yeah, John Smith.
I think if you're going to do Twin Cities, you got to go with something like Peterson or Anderson something Scandinavian.
Yeah. Good call.
You know, Bjorn
Josh,
Anderson?
Yeah. I loved him. I saw him at Turf Club.
Right.
Yeah. They'll start making up shows in their head. and then on June 10th, you'll be at Amsterdam Barn Hall.
Yeah.
So you guys have played there before, correct?
Yeah, we played there once. Let's see here. That would have been...
Was it in March? February?
February. It was it was January. January, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Where does the time go?
Yeah.
It was cold out.
Yeah.
It makes it more fun, right?
It's a really cool place. I had played there earlier on, like in 2012, when they had the small stage and then they had the bigger room. So this is, you know, we're hoping for a good turnout there, too. We got some really cool bands. Moonlit Mushroom, Christmas on Neptune, Red Eye Ruby for that one.
Yeah.
So
Moonlit Mushrooms, friends of the show.
Yeah,
very cool.
Are they?
They're awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I met him because he bought one of my drum machines.
Michael.
Yep, Michael did.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're like, oh, you have a band? I've got a band, and so we kind of kept in touch. And anybody that likes Tempest drum machines is a friend of mine. So I was like, all right, yeah, this guy must make some cool music. So we're looking forward to that. We've been plugging that show quite a bit as well.
Yeah. Nice.
That sounds like a good show. We've played a couple with Red Eye Ruby now. They were on our bill at the 7th Street Entry back in February.
Okay.
And they're a very talented band. Yeah. It's going to be a really good night next Saturday. A lot of good, talented musicians. So come on out and shake a leg with us.
Yeah. I like the answer that you mentioned, the small stage in the bar area. You used to have to, like, prove yourself there first, and then they put you in the hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right. But now ever since COVID, it seems like everybody just ends up in the hall because it's more room to spread.
I think they took that stage out of there.
Did they?
Altogether. Yeah. Okay. I thought that's where we were playing when we showed up in January, and I'm like, oh, that stage doesn't exist anymore. So
yeah,
it's all, so you know, you do want some people to show up to that one because it's a big room. But
he's we'll got to get the right angles of the crowd, you know?
Right? Exactly, yeah.
Not from the stage, but from behind the crowd.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's an art. All you have to do is look on Facebook and Instagram to see people figuring out a way to make it look like there's a lot of people at shows.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But sometimes some of those rooms, when you get 40 people there, it feels packed. So
Not that one, though.
I've done the whole go on tour and play shows for the bartender and the other band several times. Right. So, you know.
Yeah. Thankfully, we haven't had too much of that.
We really haven't.
Had a couple of shows that were like that. But
yeah. And you have a release party for Splinter, the album coming up in July. That's at the Ice House, correct?
No, so that has been changed. Okay. We are no longer, we were doing an album release at Ice House. It fell through. I won't get into that. But we have decided we are going to keep the songs that we've released as kind of our demo EP. And we're going to be going into the studio shortly. I mean, not like in the next month.
Probably this fall, early fall.
We're going to be going into the studio. We're going to re-record everything we've done plus new songs and choose probably about 10 out of the 20 songs that we record.
Nice. Yeah. All right. And then to end the show, I do have a question from a listener.
All right.
Who wants to know about your mindful practices backstage. So what mindful meditations or practices do you specifically do before shows?
That's a really great question. I think it's definitely mindful. I'm a bit spastic before shows. I get really intense. I'm pacing around, jumping up and down, trying to get my energy up, get the blood flowing. I usually go out to my car and warm up my voice for about 10 minutes. And when I can sing along to Bad Bad Hats, I'm ready to go, when I can hit her notes. And, we definitely are starting to do a little pre-show huddle a bit more often to get everybody together on the same track. But we have a lot of performing experience in this band. A lot of people have been doing it for a long time. For me personally, it's just a matter of getting to the point where I'm not thinking about anything but putting on the best show possible and putting in, you know, actually thinking about what I'm saying with my lyrics and trying to put the proper emotions and, you know, I want to be interesting on stage without being a statue, but I also don't want to force it. And so just trying to get really present is my big goal before a show. And a lot of the time that involves me doing some weird stretches and dynamic jumping around exercises.
Sure.
He goes to his car a lot. That I noticed that. And so he's got a lot of more like body energy, I think, that he works through. I use what I learned is called four square breathing. That's one thing I use. Basically just breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, breathe out for 6, and then hold for 2, and you just do that. If I have any like negative, anxious energy, that's how I can get rid of that. Otherwise, mine is definitely kind of a more of an all day thing. Just really mindfully doing things throughout the day, you know, making sure that everything from my pedal board to the chords that I'm using are wound up and ready to roll and neat, and so that if anything goes wrong on stage, that I'm very quickly able to diagnose what's happening.
Sure.
That just creates a space where I can be more present and not be worrying about things going wrong all the time. So kind of an all-day practice just to make sure everything's working.
Yeah, I start getting nervous about 3 or 4 hours before the show.
Yeah.
And It's not necessarily a bad thing. I always joke that the day I stop getting nervous, I should probably quit playing.
Right.
But it's very much like I used to run track, and it's kind of how I used to feel before a race, where it's like, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but let's go. I want to do this right now.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's my favorite thing in the world to do, and the feeling that I get after a good show is unlike anything else. So
sure.
And that's kind of the... I try to keep that in mind when the nerves kick up, that, hey, you never don't enjoy yourself.
So. Right. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks really for having
appreciate
us.
It's
been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to Twin Citizen, they're available streaming everywhere. Check out Bandcamp as well. And we will see you here next week on the 945 Show.